tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Welcome back to Pier Street in Nina, 1800-938-007. We have that competition running as well. We're celebrating Pamela Scott's brand new store here in Nina. We have a €50 voucher to give away, and it's based on your interaction with us by text on 083-311-3311. Now, Tipperary Labour Deputy Alan Kelly says he couldn't care less about the apology issued to him in the Doyle last night by Minister Charlie Flanagan. And Deputy Kelly joins me online now. Good morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Fran.
And thanks for taking time for us today. Oh, wouldn't it have been gracious to say, look, it was an apology, it can be difficult for people to apologise, you know, I should accept it as it is?
Well, I think you were misunderstanding me, Fran. I did accept it. Mm. I have no issue with the apology. I did accept it. I have no issue there. I think the real issue why I feel that way was more to do with the fact that it's not really about me. I think the apology about what happened should be added on to Sergeant Morris McCabe. And that's the context in which I mean, look, a personal apology to me isn't important, isn't in this grand scale of things when you look at what happened and how that man was blackguarded and how other whistleblowers have been treated. Mm. And really, it was in that context which I meant it, because...
But you were incredulous about the outburst in the Dole from Charlie Flanagan.
But sure, look, it's going to be probably one of them reeling in the ears. Mm.
The short years, for the future, yeah.
I have no idea what he was on about. I asked parliamentary questions, and obviously they're very detailed parliamentary questions, and I wanted answers. But it looks like it was a very embarrassing situation for Charlie Flanagan. Everybody, including his own party, were incredulous as regards what he did. But, I mean...
You think he should step down now, though?
No, it looked like, basically, that he knew that my questions were going to blow the lid off all of what was happening in the Department of Justice, which they did. And we now have the outcomes and what we have now. Mm. And that's the reason for his outburst. But of course I accept his apology, but I just think it's a very, very small thing. It's not very that important to me in the grand scheme of things, in the sense that it's Morris McCabe and the other whistleblowers that really need to be looked after.
But you think that Charlie Flanagan should step down?
Well, what I really think, and I've said it now quite publicly, is that we need a clean sweep in the Department of Justice. I have nothing personal against the man in that sense, but I think Leo Varadkar should take this opportunity to have a mini reshuffle and to put in somebody new into the Department of Justice. I believe that is totally unnecessary, and he has an opportunity to do that now, and he should take it, because there's a new Secretary General coming in, and he's an opportunity to put a political head at the top of it, because I still don't understand why my questions weren't answered. I also want to know how, and this, you know, really is a very, very serious thing for the state, how a department, I'd like your listeners to listen to this, how a department which set up the tribunal and had to give over all documentation in every way, shape and form has now found a whole range of new documents which were never sent down in the first place. And, like, this is not acceptable. In fact, it's dangerous. Where the Department of Justice, of all departments, didn't comply with the discovery order of a tribunal which it set up itself. Now, that is scary at any level.
And is that criminal?
Well, that needs to be seen. I suppose it depends on whether it was intentional or not. But the independent, and I put that in inverted commas, investigation that the Taoiseach committed to as a result of my questions will have to look at that. Because, you know, how you could not find these documents, how you could not find anything that had Morris McCabe's name linked to it, is beyond my comprehension. I just don't know how that could have happened. And it really is quite scary that emails, phone calls, correspondence relating to this whole issue, which was the biggest issue and most serious issue in this state when it came to justice, were not put forward to the tribunal. And it raises many, many questions.
And the decision by Noel Waters yesterday to step down immediately, what did you make of that? What is that saying, do you think?
Well, it's also, it's another real issue. I mean, he had announced his retirement. He was to go in February, and now he went immediately, following the fact that inside in the Dáil yesterday, the Taoiseach criticised the Department of Justice intensely. I mean, his own minister criticised his own department intensely in the Dáil last night when he was speaking. I mean, I've already said I believe it's a basket case. I believe it's dangerous to leave it the way it is. And I've put forward my proposals as regards where I think it should go. I believe the Department of Justice needs to be broken up. I believe it's too big. There are some sections of it, for instance, in relation to immigration and in relation to the whole area of managing charities, which could be put into other departments. But fundamentally, the biggest issue, I believe, Fran, is that policing, normal everyday policing, which you talk about all the time on your show, and the whole issue of security have to be separated. In most modern European democracies, Western democracies, they are separated, because if you have a situation where policing and security analysis are together, it can lead to a very toxic mix if it gets into the hands of different people. And I believe they need to be separated. So my view, and I've held this for some time, is that we should set up a separate agency for security, and it should come under the realm of the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach's office and normal everyday policing and the justice system and all of that should remain as the Department of Justice.
And is there an appetite there, do you think, for such a profound change in what has been happening?
I believe there is, and I believe it's necessary, and I believe it has to happen. Yeah. And we had a report into the Department of Justice a number of years ago, which was meant to be implemented. There was also reports into an Garda Síochána, which were never implemented. And this is the department that for some reason never implemented those reports. That answers its own questions, if you know what I mean, because they weren't acting like they should have. And really, I mean, this needs to happen. And the issue here is there's an urgency. There's an urgency relating to this, which is actually immediate, because to leave it the way it's currently constituted is dangerous. The relationship, and I've proven this with the release of information, I mean, where you have ministers and the department sharing information and sharing briefings with the head of An Garda Síochána and senior management in An Garda Síochána related to going on national media. There's something just not right about that. It's not correct. And I have to say this, and I say this on the basis of a lot of knowledge in relation to An Garda Síochána and a lot of knowledge in relation particularly to the Department of Justice. And it's this: where the Department of Justice ends and where An Garda Síochána senior level begins doesn't exist at the moment. It's a hand-in-glove relationship, as far as I'm concerned, Fran. And everyone now knows that. That has to change, because it is not serving the country well. It is not performing the justice function to the best of our ability and what we need. And it is not serving the people, the honest, decent people who work in An Garda Síochána at the civilian level and on the beat, who are out there listening to this, and also the people who are doing good work in the Department of Justice and in their related agencies. It is not serving them well.
You speak about that that vast knowledge of the Gardaí and indeed the department as well. A lot of people are very curious about the detailed questioning that you put forward and where that came from. Were you tipped off?
Fran, I've been asked about this numerous times. I suppose over the last year and a half, Fran, I've built up a lot of knowledge across the Department of Justice, all of their workings, and on Garda Síochána and all of their workings as well. I have used that knowledge. I've asked very pertinent questions which concern me. I've obviously built up a lot of relationships as a result of that. I put all of that into the mix. It's like a big jigsaw, to be honest, Fran. A lot of things are interconnected. And as a result of that, I pose questions which, as we know now, has unraveled issues which are central to the state and worrying for the state. And in fairness, it was very unique yesterday that the Taoiseach of this country, imagine the Taoiseach of this country, this wouldn't have happened 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Taoiseach of this country, as a result of the work that I put in, came out and said his own Department of Justice was dysfunctional. And we had the Minister for Justice who came out yesterday and said that he was completely disappointed with his own department and the way in which they worked. And he went further than that even. Now, honestly, if I hadn't to mix all of those things up and put in those questions which I put in, I sincerely do not believe that this would have happened. And you know what, Grant, to be fair, because I have to say this, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the help of journalists like Mick Clifford, Katie Hannon, John Burke and RTE. And I also want to acknowledge this because, you know, it needs to be said. You know, there are a number of other people in the House of Bureaucrats who have trotted a path on this. I'm thinking of Claire Daly. You know, I'm thinking of John McGuinness, for instance, as well. And, their work needs to be acknowledged here as well, because I think it's appropriate given what's happened in the last few
years. Right, now, you know what I'm going to say to you, that work wasn't acknowledged while you were at the cabinet table yourself?
Well, to be fair, I didn't have the information, Fran, and I've said this quite publicly, I didn't have any.
But the people you mentioned were crowing about that all of the time, you know?
Yeah, certain elements of all, but there's no way we had the level of detail, Fran, that we have now. And I honestly had no knowledge in relation to any of this. I'm doing my job as an opposition TD. Mm. I got the information.
But you spoke to other whistleblowers as well, didn't you?
In relation to
what? Well, in relation to this information coming out.
You might explain your question. I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you are familiar with whistleblowers over the years, and you've championed them as well. So, like, was it not a case that, you know, you would have known about this all the time?
No, absolutely not, friend. I think that's a very unusual question. If I didn't know about this, I would have dealt with it. So I didn't know that. What you're basically saying to me is that I have acted in the past in an unethical way, and I don't appreciate that.
Well, I didn't say that in the least. But what I'm saying to you is that if some of the TDs that you mentioned were crowing about this, you were speaking to some of the whistleblowers, two and two together. I'm just thinking.
But where did I speak to some of the whistleblowers?
Well, weren't you championing whistleblowers?
No, we brought in whistleblowing legislation. As a party, we pushed for whistleblower legislation. We brought in whistleblower legislation.
Yes,
Fran. We were made aware of concerns as a government. So action was taken. But as regards having an in-depth knowledge of the issues, certainly when I was in government, I wasn't aware to the level of detail, obviously, which I've been working on for the last 18 months.
Where does this go now, do you think?
I think there are a number of issues here. I think the Charlton Tribunal, and I have to say quite publicly, I admire Justice Charlton. I think he's the right man for the job. I think he's going to get to the bottom of what's going on here. I think he's acting in a very specific way, which I admire. I believe that has to do with course. I believe we need to ensure that all the information that is required is sent in. I'm still not 100% confident he has all the information. I want to find that out. I'm going to be putting in very specific questions in relation to that. We then need to find out what has happened in the Department of Justice in the past so that the information I look for wasn't provided and information others look for wasn't provided to the Charlton Inquiry. Fundamentally, then, on top of that, we need to change the Department of Justice along the lines which I spoke about earlier. I think that's an immediate thing. I think we need change at a political level at the top of that as well. And finally, I think, obviously, we need to ensure that people who come forward with issues, that they are treated very, very seriously. I don't believe that this is the end to some of the issues in the Department of Justice and in Garda Síochána. And we need to make sure that we future-proof. So where there are issues, they can be dealt with in the appropriate way. And I'm not sure we're fully there yet, Frank.
Can I give, it was claimed yesterday that I was speaking on your behalf, so can you speak on your own now? Because Matthew McGrath, still looking for you to apologise to the Tipperary ETB on the programme yesterday. Do you want to have a word on that for me?
Well, Matthew McGrath is anti-Alan Kelly. Anything I do that is, is worthwhile, is acknowledged in any way, shape or form, Matty hates it. He attacks me left, right and centres. He says stuff about me which is blatantly not fair or untrue. For instance, when in this famous instance, this embarrassing situation where Charlie Flanagan attacked me, which we all know was bogus, and that we didn't know was bogus at the time, and he's now subsequently made an apology for. The one deputy who was supporting him in all there was Matty McGrath. You can read the transcripts. You can hear him saying, hear, hear. And you can hear him commenting. It's all there available publicly to anyone who wants to look at it.
Yeah, I was having a look at it, but really all he said, I suppose, was hear, hear.
Yeah, but like he was the only one because there was complete shock. Even in the government benches, there was shock at the way he was behaving. Right. Which you see, Matty has to jump down on top of Alan all the time for political, local, pint-scoring purposes, which is absolutely ridiculous. If Matty McGrath does something worthwhile at a national or local level, I will support him because I represent Tipperary and I'm a national TD as well. I would appreciate if he'd behave in the same way, but that's never going to happen. In relation to the ETB issues, I will in no way, shape or form accept his arguments. I believe that's bogus as well. And I repeat the fact, why did the people who have concerns, and remember the PAC will be doing a report in relation to the ETB sector, why did the people who had the concern come to me? They did not go to Matthew McGrath. Right. And he should ask that question to himself before...
Right. Well, I put that to him yesterday and he was doubtful about the notion
and
of...
Please appreciate, Fran, that yesterday was an extremely busy day for
me. Sure.
I didn't hear the interview, but I heard reports that he made some comments in relation to me trying to... or getting the ETB centre initially from a few years ago when the head office was set up, moved from Turles to Nina. That is false. That is untrue. I mean, I wasn't in the Department of Education, so I don't really know what he's raving about there either. But it's not unusual. It's not unusual for Matthew to make outlandish comments about me, which are unfair, undignified, and untrue. I would ask him to desist because, in fairness, I don't think it's doing him any favours.
All right. Alan Kelly, thanks for making time for us today, Alan. Thank you. Good morning to you. Deputy Alan Kelly speaking to us there. 1800-938-007. You can text on 083-311-3311. We're live from the Inn today, and we're back in a moment.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Now, I'm glad to be joined in the studio by Inspector Seamus Maher. Good morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Fran.
First of all, will you talk to us about those counterfeit 50-euro notes? Because there's some in circulation.
Yes, we had a proliferation of 50-euro notes counterfeit in the Nene area over the weekend, passed in maybe six premises and one in Tipperary Town. We obtained warrants at Mallow District Court yesterday and searches are underway this morning in the Charleville area and three persons have been arrested. So that's the up-to-date on that, Fran. Just good news there and good work by the Gardaí in Newport and Nene.
Can we expect more of that? Is that the usual on the run-up to Christmas, Seamus, that there's a... some counterfeit money out there?
Look, crime is very prevalent at this time of year, and you know we have to be vigilant, and that's why we put out the appeal and on the newspaper, and that's why I want to give an update here this morning, just to, so people are aware, and you know, use your ultraviolet pen and just be careful.
All right, talk to us about that arrest in the Glengool area, because you got a call from witnesses, didn't you?
That's right. I suppose when we talk about our winter program and crime, you know, there's some good news stories, and there's great work done by the Gardaí across the county. On the 12th of November, Gardaí got a phone call about the theft of diesel. We're able to arrest two individuals and a file is being prepared. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of assistance we need. We were able to get the equipment as well in relation to what was being used to, you know, draw down the diesel. There is other good work.
Very good,
In respect of... in respect of crimes recovered, crimes detected and properly recovered, I can say that there was a chainsaw stolen in the Burrisley area on the 8th of November. And this particular man, it's his livelihood, it's his business. And Gardaí Templemore and Burrisley did great work. They carried out a search in the rag and were able to recover that chainsaw. And, you know, that's very important.
Very good. There was a power washer as well, wasn't there?
Yes. You know, our local community policeman and our guard in Port Road did fantastic work yesterday. He was able to carry out a search. He obtained a search warrant for a property in his area and was able to recover a power washer stolen from a farm owner in the Carrigatore area of Nina. It was stolen on the 21st. You know, that's terrific work by our local community policeman.
One of the big fears has to be burglary, Seamus. We talk about it a lot on the programme, though. There was a burglary at Masterstown in Cashel, wasn't there?
Yes, a very significant burglary on a national level, I would suggest. There was firearms stolen and a very significant vehicle, an Audi RS. Gardaí in Care worked tirelessly on this investigation under the supervision of Detective Inspector Paddy O'Callaghan. And they were able to work with our colleagues in Port Leash. Three individuals were arrested, and there's one particular individual charged with this burglary, and he's currently before the courts, which was huge work. And I know the interviewing that took place was of a high quality.
If we ever needed proof that the public are a huge, huge help to the Gardaí, it's certainly certainly in what we're going to discuss now, because there was a vehicle acting suspiciously, and that was pointed out to the Gardaí, wasn't it?
Yes, this was a vehicle stolen in the Limerick area. A Gardaí in Newport got a phone call about a vehicle parked in the laneway with the engine running. Inquiries had just shown that the vehicle was bearing false plates. Gardaí then did a check on the chassis number. We were able to identify this vehicle as stolen from the Limerick area, and carried out our usual swabs with our scenes of crime crew, and we swabbed the steering wheel, and we're waiting analysis of that. But we were able to, that vehicle was no doubt going to be used in the commission of crime. And you know, when we talk about the public's assistance, even the burglary in Masterstown, we had local individuals that saw a significant interaction and at the location of the burglary and on the roadway, and were able to provide that assistance for us. And you know, that's it's a collaborative effort in solving crime. That's
very
really
good.
It.
Now, I know we heard about that public disturbance in, you know, on the 25th of November. Do you have an update on that for us?
One of our guards was injured. He received a blow to the face,
yeah.
And two other Gardaí were, I suppose, assaulted in the process of effecting arrest. Look, we're preparing a file for DPP. You know, it's unruly behaviour in the Millersbrook area on a Saturday evening. You know, nobody wants it, especially the residents of Millersbrook. And you know, we dealt with it as best we could. And you know, unfortunately, in the course of our duty, these things happen from time to time. But we'll be professional and deal with it and submit our files.
Now, people, particularly, I suppose, in the rural areas, Seamus, we're delighted to hear that you have a burglary response unit. That's particularly for this winter period, isn't it?
Yes, Fran, and our Chief Superintendent, Catherine Keogh, is very anxious that we respond early in respect of our winter crime period. You know, we see surges at this time of year, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on. We have patrol burglary response units set up throughout the county, comprised of two sergeants and eight Gardaí. We operate north and south. We patrol areas identified by our own analysis services, which is a huge support to us in respect of pin mapping and temporal analysis times when burglaries occur. We are looking to put our patrol times in the hours of darkness primarily. We patrol areas where the communities are vulnerable. You know, we're talking about rural areas specifically.
Sure.
We have also identified arteries that may be used by travelling criminals. Just for example, in Nenagh district alone, it's one of the biggest districts in the country. We border Laois, Offaly, Clare, Limerick and Galway. And you know, there can be spillover into Tipperary Division and Nenagh district, and indeed in the other districts in Tipperary Division. And we're very conscious of that. But it seems to be having an impact, Fran. You know, our property crime is 645 incidents to date. We're down from 747. That's a drop of 15%. And our burglaries are also down, which, you know, please God, we can hold our own between here and the end of the year. You know, it's a lot of work will go into it. And I know our burglary response units are comprised of some of our best people. And, you know, Chief Superintendent is very anxious that we deliver a service to the people in the rural areas.
Crime prevention advice, Seamus. I mean, you know, particularly in respect of the burglaries, which, as I say, is a great fear out there. There's fear in the rural communities. What advice do you have for people?
Well, look, I've given a talk in relation to trespass laws, and I don't want to go into legislation on the radio.
Yeah.
But you know, we do have offences under the Criminal Justice Public Order Act. You know, it's an offence to enter anyone's building. This is outside burglary. You know, to surround or intend to commit any offences of trespass. You know, you're not allowed to enter any building or cartilage in any manner likely to cause fear. You know, there is penalties there, and we're quite anxious to bring these offences before the court. So if anybody encounters people on their property or in or around their lands, please give us a call, and you know, we will deal with it. As I said, the offences are there, and we can bring them somewhere early. Outside of a burglary, let's say, these are offences that can happen.
Of course.
You know?
Engagement with the community, I suppose, is vital, is it?
Yes. I suppose we've engaged with Arabon Co-op here in Nenagh, and we had an open day just at the end of October in Gortine College, sponsored by Arabon Co-op. But we had Tom Dwyer, who works tirelessly in respect of crime prevention here in the Nenagh area, and indeed throughout the county of Tipperary. I suppose one of our probationer, Gardaí, Fran, decided to put his project into action. He's to do a project as part of his training. So he's working with the IFA, and he's looking at property marking, and he's already engaged in a couple of meetings with the IFA. So, you know, this is something he developed an interest in from this open day, and look at it. We'll see the results. It's a very worthwhile initiative.
Very good. Now, there's no doubt whatsoever, because I was looking at some of the stats that you gave us, Seamus, that, I mean, burglaries tend to increase this time of year, and we have to face that fact, haven't we?
Yes, Fran. And look at, if I can just give some key messages, you know, to lock up, light up, support our This will support our Operation Tower and especially our crime prevention strand. You know, useful facts that we can deliver to the public is in wintertime, residential burglaries are up by 25%. Residential burglaries increase between the hours of 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. during winter. On average, 1 in 6 intruders enter through an unsecured door or window. And in fairness, homes that look unoccupied, I know it's not a new message, but it's something just to remind people, you know, are more vulnerable to burglary. Right.
So lights, you know, vital to the
lock
whole
up,
thing,
light up, yeah. Put on your alarm and be safe and, you know, secure your property. So that's really a message I'd like to get across today, you know.
Yeah, but you have an interesting one in the stats that you gave me. The most likely entry point for a burglar is a door.
Exactly.
I mean, it sounds simplistic, but that's the way it is, isn't it? They come in the doorway.
They come in the doorway, and sometimes through unsecured doors, Fran, and unsecured windows. And, yeah. You know, 33% of our burglaries take place through the front door and 24% through the rear door. You know, that might surprise people. But it just shows that, you know, burglars are anxious and willing. Yes. And
they're opportunistic. I mean, opportunistic. If you leave your door open.
Yes, and they will take the easiest route.
All right, of course. Now, you're looking for some public assistance as well, Seamus.
Yeah, with a burglary in our Vodafone shop, was the 17th into the
just
18th.
Up from us here, isn't
up
it?
From, yeah. Up from us here. Yeah. We carried out our CCTV analysis, and we know there is an innocent man in a Jeep, and he stopped at the lights at Kenyon Street in around 4 a.m. just shortly afterwards. And, you know, his attention was drawn to the raiders at the Vodafone shop, and he got out of his Jeep and got back in. Now, if that man could give us a shout in Nina Garda Station, we'd really appreciate it. He may have some significant information that would assist our investigation. We have carried out a number of searches in a neighbouring division in respect of this burglary, and look at the investigation that's ongoing. But, you know, if that individual could give us a call, we'd really appreciate it if he hears this message this morning.
There was another incident in the casual area, I think, was it?
Yeah, at Killis Stafford Cross on the 16th of November. And in fact, the 16th, 17th and 18th of November, we had metres of telephone cable were cut and stolen. Now, we believe that the culprits were dressed as contractors, all in Douala area of Cashel on those 3 dates. And if you saw any individual or any vehicle that raised your suspicions, please contact us or contact the Gardaí in Cashel.
That sounds very organised, was it?
Organised, Fran, and your cable has a value, and a value that can be, when it's melted down, and can be sold on. And obviously, there is criminals, and we've engaged with AIR and the ESB and other agencies in respect of it, and there's we have a national theft forum in respect of this type of crime. And, you know, the locals in Douala area, and I was previously stationed in Cashel, you know, vigilant people, they might have some information that could assist us.
Hopefully so indeed. Now, Superintendent William Leahy was telling me last week about that relatively new thing that's happening, that schools are being broken into and burgled as well. You'd go along with that, Seamus?
Yeah, we've had 9 incidents throughout the division, which is significant for this time of year. And, you know, really at night time, schools are vulnerable, and you know, in relation to collections and in relation to some monies that may be held, you know, we're asking schools to be careful. We're asking individuals that may be you know, out at night time to keep an eye on your local school. If you see anything, give us a shout. If a light or a torch is on inside, you know, let us know, because they're particularly vulnerable areas. And, you know, some schools are alarmed, some schools aren't. And I know that Sergeant Tom Dwyer is trying to meet with all the different schools and give them the advice that they need, you know, to protect their property. And that's... And I know Superintendent Lee has been speaking about it.
Yeah, so. You've got a final message for us. And I suppose, you know, simply, James, it's about us minding ourselves, isn't it?
Do you know what, Fran? I've had, this is my fatal road crash on Saturday morning. And, you know, the road surface was particularly bad. And the poor lady and her family, I've huge sympathy for how it happened, because, you know, road surfaces can be dangerous this time of year. Yeah. And, you know, just to take the necessary precautions, and you know, you mightn't see the black ice, you mightn't see the issues, but ahead of you, but just be careful. And if I could leave with that message, that'd be great.
All right, listen, great to see you again, Seamus. Thanks very much.
Good to talk to you, Fran.
Inspector Seamus Barr with us today live in Nina, 1800 938 007.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Welcome back to Tip Today. We're live from Pier Street in Nina today. Now, over 200,000 women and almost 90,000 men in Ireland have been severely abused by a partner at some point. It's somebody who was supposed to love them, whether it be a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or somebody who had a previous relationship with, and they come from all social classes and ethnic groups. Now, Move Ireland works in the area of domestic violence with a primary aim, I suppose, of supporting the safety and well-being of women and the children who are experiencing or have experienced violence, abuse in an intimate relationship. The area manager is Anne McMahon, and Anne is online with me. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, Fran.
And it's good to talk to you today. You work primarily with men to take responsibility for their actions and therefore change their behaviour. Is that fair to say, Anne?
Yes, that is fair to say, yes. I look after the Southwest region, so I would cover North Tipperary, Clare, Limerick and Kerry. And yes, we are running programs in those areas, and Nina is starting their program tomorrow night. So we have referrals, we have men that are looking to make those changes and that want to attend the program for the purpose of changing their behaviour.
But they have to make that decision themselves to go and do something about it. Is that fair to say?
Well, sometimes they don't make the decision themselves. It's made, you know, they're helped to make it, put it that way. If the referral comes, you know, to the court, so if it comes from probation, they may be, you know, mandated to do something with regards to this particular behaviour. There may be, you know, issues then within the family that have come to the attention of maybe TUSLA or a GP, or the men. Some of the men certainly do refer themselves because they recognise that, you know, this isn't right, this isn't acceptable, and that they want to make the changes.
I was reading some of your literature, Anne, and I was fascinated by one particular aspect of it, where it says the notion of the perpetrator as an out-of-control, violent sociopath who is easily identifiable is very simplistic. It's much more sophisticated than that, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose it would be, certainly would be more sophisticated. And again, you know, I suppose it depends on, you know, how it presents. Because as you know, Fran, you know, there are so many different forms of abuse.
Mm.
And it's not just the physical abuse, you know, it's the emotional, the financial abuse, the sexual abuse. There is certainly the psychological effect that it has on women, you know, has a dreadful effect on the women. And, you know, just because you're not going to see, you know, a black eye or a broken arm or, you know, something that's visible, doesn't mean that it's not going on, you know. So it certainly, you know, I suppose it can be hidden. So it can, you know, but it does come to light. And, you know, I suppose Move Ireland, their primary aim is to help these people to provide the intervention program that we do provide. We have programs running in 11 locations, and you know the purpose of the program is would be to support the men and their families and to provide hopefully a safer environment for the women and children.
The perpetrators, and in fairness, they're largely men. Is there any common denominator among these people, Anne?
No, there doesn't seem to be. It certainly is. It's, you know, I suppose it's across the board, really. There isn't, you know, any one particular type of person. So there isn't. So it's across the board. You know, they're coming from all walks of life, from all nationalities. So, you know, we're dealing with that. So at the moment, we look at trying to facilitate all of the nationalities that come to our attention. And some of those needs are even in facilitating somebody that's going to translate for them, you know. So an interpreter.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as well in terms of coming up to Christmas and stuff, and times of the year when there's more pressure on people, whether it's financial or emotional or whatever. Are these trigger points in some way, Anne?
They would be difficult times for them, Fran.
Yeah.
We would always have found that you know, even when I deliver the programs myself, we always found that coming up to Christmas, you know, at that particular time, it needed a little bit of extra attention around the Christmas time, around financial difficulties, around just, you know, the different pressures that all of the different families can experience. So, you know, whether it's going to be alcohol issues, whether it's going to be the financial issues, whether it's going to be emotional, psychological, there a lot of different things come up for the men during that time, and for the women as well, because there is support provided to the women by an individual, by other agencies and standalone people as well. So there is partner support there for the women, and they would certainly say the same. But for the men, it's a dangerous time for some of them. And they do need that extra support. So Move Ireland are very aware of that. And we do kind of, you know, I suppose, put an extra bit of focus on Christmas time and, you know, provide that extra support for them. And with the Choices program that's rolled out at the moment, they now can avail of one-to-one sessions. So that can be covered during the group work or during one-to-one sessions with them.
The advertising that is currently being aired, where there's a responsibility put, I suppose, on the person who might witness or hear or yeah. know of something that's going on by way of domestic violence. Do you go along with that, Anne?
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, it's very difficult. You know, it's frightening, you know, if you do come across it. But it's okay to be frightened. It's okay to be even put off by it, because some people might misinterpret a situation, you know, but it's not okay, you know, to do nothing about it. You know, if it's a very dangerous and immediately dangerous situation, you know, I suppose we would recommend you call the guards.
Mm.
However, if not, and if somebody, you know, if you recognize that there is domestic violence in a particular family, whether it's your own close family or you know, neighbour or whatever, you know, I suppose trying to build a relationship with the person, trying to see, you know, how happy they are in the relationship, even, or do they want to make the changes? Trying to get them, I suppose, to take responsibility themselves, but even looking at getting them to look at what they can do, making them aware of what Move Ireland do, making them aware
you
of
see, that advice, Anne, is perfect. My only problem with the ad is that it tends to be dramatic without giving specifics to people, because sometimes it can be difficult to know what exactly to do. You might want to do something,
yeah.
but you say, will I make it worse for this person if I call in the Gardaí immediately? Or, you know, it's difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult. If it's a dangerous situation, we would be recommending that you would call the guards. But yes, friend, it is difficult, you know, because again, you might want to even admit that this is going on, that this is what you are hearing. And I understand what you're saying about the ad and that, you know. I think the important piece is, you know, that first of all, that you don't shame the person, because that certainly will heighten the danger and will heighten denial. You know, trying to, communication, language that you use is
yes.
going to be very,
yeah.
very important. The language that you use around that person will be very, very important, you know. And like I've said, whether it's, you know, helping them to begin to acknowledge what they're doing, begin to realize what they're doing, that's a start, friend. You know, then making them aware of what's available to them.
Something that isn't often spoken of, Anne, is the idea of retaliation, you know, that somebody might fight back, whether it's physical or verbally or whatever. I presume you come across that, and how do you deal with that then?
Yeah. We do, you know. I suppose that what we are covering, you know, for us, because we deal with the men, and of course, yeah, you know, and that does happen, and that, you know, however, with the programs that Move Ireland provide and run, you know, they're male perpetrator programs. So they're specifically for the man, and it's all about teaching the man how to change his behavior, take responsibility for what he has done. Mm. With regards to, yeah, if there is retaliation, you know, the woman then works with a separate individual altogether, you know. So if that comes up for the woman deals with her own side of it. But as far as we'll say, the programs that we run, they're for the men. So it's all about getting them to take responsibility for their own behaviour.
So tomorrow night in Nina?
Tomorrow night in Nina. They're starting tomorrow night in Nina, so anybody that wants to refer people, or if they want to find out information about it, or if they want to, men want to refer themselves, they can contact me on 086-414-9613. And I can give them any information that they want. Limerick Clare program is up and running. And
just to repeat, where is that tomorrow night in Nina? Where is it happening?
It's in the Pastoral Centre.
In the Pastoral Centre.
No problem. Nina.
And very good to talk to you today, and best of luck to you tomorrow night as well. Thanks
Thank
very
you
much
very
indeed.
Much,
Thank
Brian.
You.
Great
bye-bye
to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That's Anne McMahon there, who's Area Manager of the organisation Move.